Greetings and welcome to the Audio Tidbits Podcast Network. We hope you enjoy the show. Being a parent is a sometimes frustrating, sometimes delightful adventure for you and your child. The journey is not always smooth and problem-free but offers love, joy and excitement. For the next 30 minutes, Sharon shares the most important keys to being a successful parent. There are hundreds if not thousands of details to your parenting experience. But if you spend the next half hour with Sharon, you will finish with the tools and perspectives you need to be fully and successfully engaged with your child as you move into your future. The challenge and opportunity are yours.
Your child is special, a unique individual, the only one of him or her there will ever be. If you do not embrace this simple truth with reverence and enthusiasm, your child will know and will never completely get over it. He began life's journey with boundless potential, but also with limitations. With your help, he can be extraordinarily successful. Still, there are mountains he can never climb, rivers he can never cross, races he can never run. He comes to you on an as-is basis. He can only be who he is, can only become the best him there ever was or ever will be. Hello world, it's your child. Your journey into your child's future is exciting and challenging, rewarding and disappointing, filled with pleasure and pain for you and for him. At the same time, it is the most important adventure you will ever experience. Your successful excursion into your child's tomorrow begins with your assurance he grows up in a loving home. Leo Tolstoy said, "All happy families resemble one another. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way." Buddha said, "A family is a place where minds come in contact with one another. If these minds love one another, the home will be as beautiful as a flower garden. But if these minds get out of harmony with one another, it's like a storm that plays havoc with the garden." The loving home where your child flourishes includes the love and harmony of Buddha's flower garden and much more. It is Tolstoy's happy family. It is a place where encouragement, concern, attention, and affection abound. It is a place where your child can fully realize his potentials physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and intellectually. It is a place where your child does not merely succeed, he excels. Your child is counting on you for unconditional love and encouragement, constructive opportunities and experiences, continuous care and concern. He's also counting on you to teach him how to behave and to keep him on the right track. That track is wide and open, but it does have boundaries. Along with constructive opportunities and experiences, your child needs age-appropriate rules and limits, expectations and responsibilities. Keeping him on the right track while being sure he receives the love and encouragement he must have is neither simple nor easy. Nonetheless, it is essential if your child is to excel in the ongoing, growing journey into his future. Just as your child wants your unconditional love and encouragement, you want him to love you, to love himself, to love other people, and to love the world around him. You express your love through hugs, playing, and doing things together. You encourage him to share his feelings, fears, and frustrations. At the same time, you give him the freedom to grow and to experience the bigger world. You want him to have an exciting life of his own, knowing his relationship with you is secure and predictable. In addition, you want your child to respect you, to respect himself, to respect other people, and to respect the world about him. You know much of his attitude toward himself and toward the world about him comes from your attitude about him. Just as children learn to love by being loved, they learn respect for self and others by being respected. Your behavior, attitudes, and beliefs are reflected in your child. More than you may ever know, he does as you do. Children also develop attitudes toward themselves and others as a response to the attitudes and beliefs others communicate to them. In part, your child becomes what you tell him he will become. You convey this definition of self through your physical, emotional, spiritual, and social interactions with him, as well as through the way you relate as his parent. Beyond these things, there is a whole world of influences over which you have little control. Your hope must be you have nourished and nurtured your child's potentials so he can effectively deal with the multiple influences of the world. You hope your loving respect has been strong enough and clear enough to be integrated into his being as he moves out into a world that may not perceive him as unique. His sense of being special comes from you. You can only trust it is solid enough to last him a lifetime. Responding in moderation. Nothing in excess, everything in moderation. This old saying certainly applies to being a parent. The challenge usually has more to do with how much than it does with being correct or incorrect. This dilemma of child rearing is more easily understood than explained. For example, whether your child should be praised is usually not an issue. The real issue is how much praise is just right. Too little praise and he receives insufficient encouragement or recognition. Too much praise gives him a false sense of accomplishment and achievement. The same holds for discipline. Too much abuses and mistreats your child. Too little does not teach him to internalize the consequences of his actions. If there is too much emphasis on work and responsibility, your child does not learn how to relax and have fun. If there is too little emphasis in this area, he does not learn how to work and be responsible. What is the right amount of encouragement and rules, freedom and restrictions? There is no final way of deciding this. Still, your goal is to come close, minimizing overdoing it and underdoing it. The right amount for any child in any specific situation is to be neither excessive nor insufficient. Seldom can parents, with full understanding and awareness, respond just right. Very often, they find themselves in the awkward position of being off the mark, even if ever so slightly. What is the effect on your children if you frequently overdo it or underdo it? As your child grows, instances of excess and inadequacy add or subtract like wins and losses. The excesses of normal parents score as plus and inadequacies as minus. Those rare occasions when you respond exactly right score zero. This process continues throughout childhood. When your child reaches adulthood, all of the pluses, minuses, and zeros add together to give a final score. If you have been successful, the pluses and minuses cancel each other out. A perfect score is zero. Good parents do not always do the right thing, do not always do things right. They love, care, and try to understand. Sometimes they do too much, sometimes too little. Sometimes they overreact, sometimes underreact. Sometimes they interfere too much, sometimes not enough. Sometimes they set too many limits, sometimes too few. Influencing and containing the potentials of your children is not prescriptive. It is finding the balance between overdoing it and underdoing it. Rules and boundaries. During their developing years, your children move from a world with no rules or boundaries set by you into a world of maximum rules and boundaries. They then gradually move back to a world with no parent rules or boundaries. You, in a parallel way, begin by setting no rules or boundaries for your children. You then move to setting maximum rules and boundaries. Gradually, you then eliminate the rules and boundaries. Infancy is the time of life most nearly approaching complete freedom for your children. By the age of 3 or 4, your rules and boundaries should be at their maximum. From that point to adulthood, you gradually modify and then drop the rules and boundaries. Failure to understand and accept this process poses one of the biggest difficulties between parents and teenagers. Typically, teenagers' major hassle with their parents is over how quickly to discontinue the rules and boundaries. Parents tend to do this gradually and somewhat reluctantly. Teenagers feel the childish rules will never be dropped and their parents will always want to run their lives. Less frequently recognized but just as common are parents who do not recognize the need for maximizing rules and boundaries when their children are about 3 or 4. This is the age when learning to mind is most important and most frequently neglected. Parents say, they are too young. In reality, they are just the right age to learn to live successfully in a world of rules and boundaries. Here is another way to think about this important point. Consider childhood as taking place within an ever-expanding circle. In infancy, the circle within which your child exists is larger than him. About the time he begins to crawl and walk, though, he is fast filling up this circle. Rather suddenly, from your child's perspective, the circle of his life is filled with do and do not, may and may not allowed to and have to. There are rules and boundaries everywhere he turns. You then let the circle expand gradually. You take into account your child's increasing skills, developing abilities, expanding interests, and widening horizons. Still, you must not expand the circle too fast. Your children need very clear rules and boundaries. Certainly, they need the freedom to discover and explore their worlds. They also have to be contained to avoid getting hurt or being exposed to unnecessary risks. Within the circle of your child's world, he may function with relative freedom and with relative immunity from rules and boundaries. At the limits of the circle, though, your rules and boundaries should be firm. Your 2-year-old may play in the yard but not in the street. At 18 months, your child may eat food at a high chair but may not throw it across the kitchen. Your children may play with their toys, but not with the knobs on the kitchen stove. They are permitted to go some places, play with some things, participate in some activities, but are forbidden other opportunities and experiences. As your children enter school and move on to adolescence, their circles expand to include family, friends, neighbors, school, and community. Sometimes parents wait until things have gotten out of hand before trying to establish rules and boundaries. Your child does not mind, or he refuses to mind. Perhaps he does not even know how to mind. In 9 and 10 year olds, this is all too frequently seen. The challenge is to establish the rules and boundaries that should have been in place when your child was 3 or 4. It requires intense effort and sometimes counseling for both children and parents when postponed until your child's behavior is out of control. Try to achieve this with your adolescent of 15 or 16 and you face a potentially insurmountable challenge. Discipline. Discipline has a negative side as it relates to rules, boundaries, and to the life circle. Somewhat simplistically, this has to do with making your children mind and assuring they avoid unnecessary risks. Discipline also has a positive side. It encourages your children to participate in those activities and experiences that are good for them, even though this sometimes means insisting. Here are the most important principles underlying effective discipline. Your discipline should be reasonable, fair, and effective. Encouraging your children is a good example of reasonableness. You may encourage your child to try harder. If, however, you do this after it has become obvious he really cannot conform or perform, your encouragement is excessive. Encouragement implies expectation. To over-encourage is to expect too much. Alternatively, if your encouragement is insufficient to get your child to try a little harder when he really does have the ability, your response is inadequate. Reasonable discipline is in proportion to your child's age and abilities and is directly related to the action or behavior at issue. For example, responding to your child who carelessly puts a muddy hand on the window is different from responding to your child who intentionally finger paints all over the living room wall without permission. Dealing with a 3-year-old who leaves his toys in the family room is different from dealing with a 16-year-old who drives too fast or recklessly. Your discipline should be reasonable and related to both your child and his behavior. Your discipline should be fair. This point is all too obvious, but is also very important. For example, children in a family or group ought to have a sense discipline applies to them in the same way it applies to other children. When your children complain about unfairness, listen to what they are saying. They are often right. Your children may complain about having to do things today they did not have to do yesterday. They may question not getting to do things they previously got to do. Fairness means having rules, boundaries, and expectations that are reasonably consistent and predictable. Also, fairness means your discipline should not be arbitrary or capricious. For example, it is really quite unfair if your child is first told he can stay up to watch a TV program and then is made to go to bed 15 minutes before it is over, when his behavior was satisfactory. This is a fairly simple issue. Things are not always fair and people do not always behave fairly. Your children have to learn about and live with this fact of life. Even so, they have a right to expect you to discipline them fairly and equitably. Your discipline should be evaluated in terms of its effectiveness. Has your negative discipline decreased or prevented whatever you do not want your child to do? Has your positive discipline encouraged and increased desired behavior? If it hasn't, if it also has been reasonable and fair, then your effort represents appropriate discipline. If your discipline has not achieved the desired outcomes, or if it has not been reasonable and fair, your discipline has been inappropriate. Appropriateness is a principle governing all aspects of being a parent, including discipline. When considering how to best discipline your child, first consider not disciplining at all. Parents frequently say, "I have tried everything and nothing seems to work." If everything has been tried, the child must indeed be confused. It is more likely, however, doing nothing has not been tried. This is one of the most difficult issues with which parents have to deal. They want to respond, but they know their child needs to be allowed to fail, to get hurt, to work out the problems. Just because your child broke a rule, did not meet your expectations, got into trouble, or had difficulty does not automatically mean discipline is appropriate. Perhaps nothing should be done. Similarly, just because your child is making an effort does not necessarily mean praise is appropriate. Sometimes, just stay out of your children's experiences. If you do decide positive or negative discipline is appropriate, then whatever you do should be reasonable, fair, and effective. Expectations for children. You want your children to become effective, successful adults. Reaching this goal begins with having clear notions about what qualities and characteristics effective and successful adults share. You then encourage them and your children. Alternatively, those qualities and characteristics not found in effective and successful adults should be discouraged. Most all adult characteristics, good or bad, are seen in children at some stage in their development. Small children, for example, take things that do not belong to them. With adults, this is called stealing. 3- and 4-year-old children have temper tantrums as a normal part of their emotional development. If they still have tantrums when they are 25 or 30 years old, it is clearly unacceptable. Small children frequently misrepresent what has happened and do not tell parents how things really are. In adults, this is called lying. Small children are loving and affectionate. Hopefully, they are still that way when they are grown. Small children are spontaneous and enthusiastic. If all goes well, they are still that way when they are adults. Qualities and characteristics desirable or undesirable in adults should be encouraged and discouraged as your children grow and mature. Development. Your children's development starts with their physical, doing dimension. It incorporates their physical bodies, their potentials and capacities to do and behave, and most of what is visible in terms of their actions and activities. Part of your role is to help your children grow to respect and appreciate their physical abilities and skills, to know how to behave in a variety of situations, and to recognize and utilize their physical capacities and potentials. This physical, doing dimension starts at infancy and is central to your children's adjustment throughout their journey to adulthood. The emotional dimension is equally important. Here are found feelings, fears and frustrations, sadness and joy, disappointment and excitement, love and hate, fun and futility. Your growing children experience all of these emotions and must learn how to interpret them, how to express them, and how to manage them. For example, you want your children to learn to express anger without having tantrums, to deal with despair and disappointment without becoming destructively depressed, to express love and joy without getting into harmful or inappropriate relationships. Within this dimension, you hope they learn to deal with their emotions and learn how to express their feelings effectively and appropriately. Around the age of 4 or 5, the moral, spiritual dimension begins to emerge, effectively helping your children develop a solid sense of right and wrong, good and bad, requires your being clear about your values and beliefs in these areas. Success in this dimension is critical to success in the social dimension emerging about the same time. When your children are about 5 or 6, the social dimension becomes dominant and begins to interact with the other developing dimensions. The social dimension embraces your child's potential to interact with other children and adults and to become socially effective and self-determined. By about 11 or 12, your child's emerging sexual dimension begins dynamically interacting with the other developing dimensions. Sexual behavior and attitudes that are appropriate and inappropriate, healthy and unhealthy, effective and ineffective are best conveyed to maturing adolescents by parents who have carefully thought through and appropriately deal with the issues. This central parent responsibility similarly applies to the thinking, learning dimension starting at birth and gaining focus at 17 or 18. By then, your children should be self-directed, skilled learners who are formulating independent ideas and perceptions. They should be thinking critically, clearly, and thoroughly. Your older adolescents need to be receptive to the ideas of others and at the same time able to combine those ideas with their own. That is, they should be thinking for themselves. The learning process. Your children first discover and then experiment with what they have discovered. They then repeat the activity, action, behavior, or experience until they have either mastered it or determined it has no value for them. When your children achieve mastery, their knowledge and skills become conscious. They use the knowledge or skill when it is needed for the sake of something else. Language development illustrates this progression both in terms of the process and the ongoing nature of learning. Your child discovers the possibility of making noises and gestures. As he experiments with making sounds, he soon learns people respond in different ways to different noises. Once his skill has developed to the point people usually respond in the expected way, a specific verbalization or gesture can be consciously used. Throughout childhood and adult life, though, people continually discover new verbalizations and gestures. With each discovery, the process of experimentation leading to mastery comes into play. With adolescents and adults, the experimentation/mastery phase with new words and gestures is very brief and requires little attention. From your young children, though, you receive endless questions and requests mixed with a very frustrating flow of verbalizations and gestures. You notice, despite consistent responses, your child continues asking the same question, making the same gesture, or verbalizing in the same way. Your child is experimenting. Is your response predictable or does the answer change? This pattern of discovery, experimentation, and mastery leading to conscious use is seen in most learning. You tell your 3-year-old he has made a pretty picture. You are then inundated with pretty pictures. You tell your 9-year-old his way of doing something does not work. He persists, nonetheless, until his experiments convince him it does not work. Once in a while, his way does work and he learns, although usually you are right, occasionally you are wrong. Your children's learning is continuous and follows a fairly predictable course. It starts with discoveries leading to experimentation, in turn, leading to further discoveries and more experimentation. Through this repeating and expanding process, your growing children gradually come to master a wide range of knowledge and many skills. As their physical, emotional, and social abilities expand, they discover new possibilities within things they had relegated to conscious use. Learning is ever dynamic, ongoing, expanding, and exciting. Effective parents encourage such learning while ineffective parents tend to discourage it. The process of discovery leading to experimentation also means your children often do not learn the first time they have an experience, the first time they are told about something, the first time they discover things sometimes do not work or sometimes turn out badly. Likewise, your initial efforts to teach them about most anything may not be effective. Your children often experiment with your ideas and pronouncements before they decide to integrate them into their views of things. It is easy to overlook the reality you are learning along with your children. Before your responses become internalized by your children, you have ample opportunities to try again, when necessary. You can say, "Let me tell you this again. I was wrong. I made a mistake. I overreacted. I didn't do that right. What I told you was incorrect." You and your children are learning together. Along with this shared learning, you are modeling for your children appropriate mistake-making behavior. Neither you nor your children have to always be right, have to be perfect. It is enough to try your best, sometimes fail, learn through experience, and try again. Learning is a three steps forward and two steps back kind of thing sometimes. Both you and your children come to understand, accept, and value the process itself and not give too much importance to where you are in the learning process at any specific time. Assessing your relationship. How are you and your child getting along with each other? For the following questions, is the answer almost always yes, usually yes, sometimes yes, seldom yes, or almost never yes? As a guide, rate the question as 5 if your answer is almost always yes. Put 4 for usually, 3 for sometimes, 2 for seldom, and 1 for almost never. If your child is too young for the question to apply to your relationship, just skip that question. Are you responsible and fair when disciplining your child? Do you know what your child needs and what is important to him? Can you get your child to cooperate with you without your getting frustrated or upset? Do you spend time every day talking or playing with your child? Does your child like to spend time with you? Are you pleased with and proud of your child? Do you know about and are you interested in your child's activities? Do you know about and are you helping with your child's problems? Do you set a good example for your child? Do you give your child space to grow and learn on his own? Are you interested in what your child thinks and feels about things? Do you do all you can to support your child's interests, activities, and goals? If you have rated all 12 questions at the 5 or 4 levels, you and your child likely enjoy a healthy, productive relationship. There are occasional problems and issues, but you and he are working them through. If instead, you have rated some questions at the 3 level or lower, there are problems and issues within your relationship needing your careful and caring attention. Without specific work, those problems and issues tend to intensify and become harder to cope with as your child gets older. Now is the best time to resolve the problems and work through the issues. Assessing your child's adjustment. How is your child getting along? Does he seem to be getting along well, or do you see behavior or other problems that concern you? Trust your good judgment and experience. Think about your child and answer yes or no to these questions. The questions that you answer no, focus your attention on the problems and issues needing your attention. If your child is too young for the question to apply, simply skip that question. Is your child in good health and not often ill? Usually energetic and interested in what is going on in his world? Normally relaxed and comfortable with himself? Self-confident in most situations? Eating regularly in normal amounts? Staying away from alcohol or other drugs? Happy and in a good mood most of the time? Well-behaved most of the time? Managing his anger and temper responsibly? Feeling successful most of the time? Responsible and dependable most of the time? Dealing well with most day-to-day stresses and pressures? Making and keeping friends his age? Involved with friends who you know and of whom you approve? Going to school regularly? Doing well in school? Finishing homework and other assignments on time? Cooperating with teachers and others at school? Involved in school activities and projects? talking with you and other adults about his activities, friends, and problems? Now that you have answered the questions, how do you decide if your child has problems or issues needing special attention? If you answered yes to each question, your child is likely doing just fine. If not, your child's problems need extra thought and attention.
I hope you enjoyed the time you have spent thinking about and understanding the most important keys to successful parenting. The Audio Tidbits podcast team appreciates getting a chance to share their experiences and expertise with you. You are free to share this episode with anyone you feel may benefit from learning about the keys to successful parenting. At the Audio Tidbits podcast, we believe that knowledge should be freely available for all. Thanks for listening and visit again soon.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.